In other words, while for Mendelssohn, ceremonial law and moral law had equal value and were under equal obligation, in the case of these more liberal thinkers, we see already a breakdown. Ceremonial law is inferior, changes over time, and can develop over time, and therefore can be discarded. No longer can we oblige all Jews to follow all the laws as stipulated by the rabbis. Now, as we shall soon see in our next lecture, we talk about another thinker named Mordechai Kaplan. His notion of Judaism also focused considerably on the notion of on ritual law, on ceremonial law. But for him, the fact that someone is legislating law has no meaning within the context of an American democratic world. And therefore, these ceremonial laws are not laws at all. They are only folk ways. They are only things that we adopt to enhance and enrich our communal or our personal lives. We will talk about this later on, but already I want to show you another point of view, which again has discarded the notion of Jewish law. On the other hand, the Orthodox thinkers, quote unquote, that we have considered in this course, people like Samson Raphael Hirsch or Abraham Heschel, who we will speak about also in a future lecture, insist on the divine nature of both moral and ritual law together. We cannot distinguish one from the other. They are equally binding. In this sense, they share the same sense as Mendelssohn, although they are not ready to isolate one from the other, as Mendelssohn did, you recall, in defining his threefold definition of Judaism. For them, and this is a very traditional view, all law, ritual as well as moral, are of equal value. All of them cannot be distinguished. We can't isolate the Ten Commandments from the rest of the body of law. All of them are requirements because God has divinely told us, mandated us to observe this law. Of course, that is the problem of the modern Jew. It is very difficult to accept this burden, to create a life based upon observing all of these laws, of isolating oneself from the rest of humanity, the burden, you recall, of the student who Rabbi Naftali addresses in the 19 letters of Samson Raphael Hirsch, speaks to the problem of how the law has created my own sense of alienation from society. The law is the burden placed upon me. The law then becomes the major obstacle separating me from the non-Jewish world. In the 20th century and the 21st century, for secularized American Jews or for Jews in general, the problem of the law is paramount. And that's why this debate that we are now about to talk about is indeed relevant and significant as a major debate of modern Jewish thought. Buber's position on Jewish law, you will be able to figure out very quickly if you followed my previous remarks about Martin Buber. For Buber, there is commandment and there is law. Commandment is something that is personal, something that comes out of my I-thou relationship. When I have an I-thou relationship with God, it is not that I'm simply caught up in the mystery of the experience. I am conscious of a relationship which gives me tremendous gratification and a sense of self. But it also does something that is also equally important. It provokes me. It pushes me to act. I said that this was not mysticism alone. It's not just having an intimate relationship with God that is the ideal of the I-thou relationship. It is the relationship which allows me, to put it in Beck's terms, to feel created, but at the same time to want to be creative in my own right, that spurs me to action, that wants to make me do something to transform the world. A true I-thou relationship, therefore, authentically speaks to me and commands me to do something to change my life and to make the world better. That is a commandment for Buber. It is personally validated by the I-thou relationship. It comes out of the I-thou relationship. It is authentic because it is God personally addressing me, and my hearing of that commandment thus requires me to act to fulfill its nature. Commandments, therefore, are personally mandated and come out of the I-thou relationship. In Revelation, God reveals not a specific content, but a presence. What emerges out of each I-thou relationship, therefore, is unique and individual. my commandment may be different from your commandment or your commandment or your commandment.